shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
I guess we got a little bit of hockey stuff to talk about today. What's going on? It's Cody Jansen here, World Hockey Report, live presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. Yeah, we are coming at you from the great province of Alberta in the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31 underscore and the show at World Hockey RPT. So much to dive into today. We had a great preseason game yesterday. Oilers, Flames, you got thoughts? Let us know. Join the conversation anytime. If you're watching on 12 Ounce Sports, World Hockey Report on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you are watching us on. Also, Zingo TV, channel 761. Shout out Zingo. It's free. And use promo code 12OZ when signing up. Hey, it's World Hockey Report. And if you're going to the rink anytime soon, Lord Co. is going to make sure you have everything you need for a smooth ride, from bright white headlight replacement bulbs for increased visibility during early morning or late night commutes, to battery maintainers that'll ensure your vehicle starts when the temperature drops. Visit a Lord Co. Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts, and accessories. Visit LordCo.com to find a store near you. Lord Co. is the absolute best. And let's snap it over to the absolute best co-host in Saskatchewan. It's Adam Urban Trout joining us on the Quack Stats Hotline today. Trout, what's been going on, buddy? I know you're a big Blue Jays fan. Are you done sulking or what?
Yeah, that was disappointing. I mean, I like to have fun with it, but I mean, you know, whatever. I guess is my mic on? Like, you hear me?
Oh yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not getting any feedback. It sucks. Like, but at the end of the day, they lost. They split with like the worst team in baseball in Minnesota. Then they lost 2 out of 3 to Tampa. Then 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. So they weren't really able to hold it in their own hands. So I guess if you can't do that, you don't deserve to make the playoffs. So
breaking news. Just see this one coming across the waiver wire. Michael Hutchinson's on waivers. So that's your breaking news for the day from Toronto, along with Brett Connolly as well. Hey, we got a huge NHL preview show, though. I know as much as we are going to be watching baseball tonight, I'm not kidding anyone. Yes, I'm going to be dialed into Red Sox, Yankees. There is hockey going on, and we're going to preview it. So join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts anytime. 12:20, we'll break down the Western Conference. 12:40, the Eastern Conference. We got the Oilers and Flames recap coming up here in a little bit. Okay, back to the Jays, though. I got a thought, though. Like, is this actually a contending team in the next year or two, or is this kind of just a flash in the pan and they just put up a ton of runs but also just couldn't win games?
No, like, I mean, at the start of the year, their bullpen kind of killed them and cost them some games, and then just little things here and there where they weren't able to kind of all put it together. It seemed like if the starting pitching wouldn't go well, the bullpen would be going well, and then the bullpen and starters would be going well, but then they couldn't hit for, like, I remember I saw a stat. They were like the worst clutch hitting team in like baseball in like the first like 2 months of the season. So just like kind of stuff like that. And then, I mean, obviously they might lose the guy who's going to win the Cy Young, and then another guy who's going to be a top five MVP. They're both free agents. So they got some work to do, but you look at the core of the team with Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette and Teoscar Hernandez and Alec Manoah, and Barrios is here for another year, so they got the pieces.
That's fair. It's a good breakdown. I mean, I do think, you know, obviously brighter days are ahead, and it's a tough way to go out, so obviously it probably bites a little bit more just having it come down to that final game of the season. But I also don't agree with your take to expand the playoffs, because I think that's what makes baseball so cool. Is that one game wild card? Would you like to see that in the NHL? I would. I've advocated for it for a while now, but that one game wild card would be electric.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of like what they do in the SJHL, where it's like 7-10-8-9 for the last two spots. Like, kind of like more of like a, let's say, like a best of three play-in. I think that would create some good competition.
Yeah, I don't mind that. It's a decent. I don't know if I like the last. Like, I don't know if I like the four teams competing for the last two spots. I'd rather just see that very last spot. because it's just a one game winner take all. I feel like that would be absolutely electric. But hey, we don't need to change the rules on Gary Bettman here. Before we get into the Oilers Flames, I do want to ask your thoughts on Robin Lehner's comments, because he broke the internet. Hockey Twitter was going bananas. He had an interview on Chicklets. He wasn't afraid to speak out there. That's fine. That's his right. And then he goes to Twitter and he blows up Alain Vigneault. He goes and blows up teams for pushing pills. I mean, I'm very shocked, and I want to get your thoughts as well. But when he says, oh, Vegas, they were perfect. Oh, the Isles, they were perfect. Whatever. Like, oh, our team would never give guys Ambien and benzos. I call bullshit on that. I don't know. Am I too far to say that this is an absolute blinder fest and he's almost just trying to sewer a couple of teams? And not that Buffalo doesn't deserve to be sewered. I mean, they're an absolute dumpster fire with how their team's been run recently. But to say that a couple of teams are perfect and clean, I don't know about that, man.
Yeah. Everybody kind of seems to be trying to do something to give like a competitive advantage or something like that. So I don't know if that's an advantage. I'm not a doctor, but yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised he did it, but at the same time, I think there's a different way of going about it. Cause anybody could tweet something. Like, I'm sure me and you have enough credibility on our account now, or if we tweet something, like, it would get noticed. But if he was like, so like, I just think there's a better way to do it. Like, why can't he write a letter to the league or something like that, or write a letter to Vigneault and say, this is like what's going to come out. You better be prepared to address it. Like, you can't just go on Twitter in an episode of where you're losing your, like, not losing your mind or whatever, but you can't just go on Twitter and say a bunch of stuff these days. You know, it always comes back to bite somebody in the ass. And, you know, if Vigneault did that, or if Buffalo did that, it's terrible. But at the same time, I mean, you can't just go on Twitter every other day and start ripping a bunch of teams and stuff like that. It's good to speak your mind and stuff like that, but this is a little too serious, I think, to just openly go on Twitter about.
See, I liked him speaking out about Jack Eichel, and maybe that's my bias towards Jack Eichel, because I do like him as a player, and I think that there's a lot of value being missed in having him in the stands for the league. But there's also a certain line where, is Twitter your best option to get noticed? Maybe it is. Maybe I am completely wrong here, and Twitter is absolutely his best realm to get the league's attention, and that's why they reached out to him. Maybe that's what he wanted. Maybe I'm being delusional by saying that, because Gary Bettman comes out today and says, hey, if anyone wants to talk, we got a 1-800 line. Gary, they are your players. Probably just give them your cell phone. I don't know. Like, yeah. Come on, give me a break.
Like, I love that he's going off about Eichel and stuff like that, and about how, I don't know, just like random trade stuff, or if somebody asks him his top five goalies, he gives it or something like that. Like, that's cool. But to go with something where, you know, there could be like a lawsuit involved if teams are giving you pills that you don't know about, that's probably screams lawsuit. So to bring that up on Twitter, I think, is a little much, like, without going through the proper process. But if you want to talk about the league or the players in the league, go ahead, but maybe not stuff that can get somebody sued.
Well, and that's one of the points, is where do we draw the line here? Are we just going to have an all-out fire fest like Daniel Carcillo, who's got something against the league clearly, and maybe it's for the right reasons, maybe it's not, but again, you know, it's just turned into a sideshow and kind of lost some credibility, if you ask me. But then you've also got other players. Oh, I think it's Tom Cecito that came out there as well, who was commenting on it with a couple of stories. Like, hey, I mean, if that's the realm you want to take, if you want that attention, which I do 100% think they're trying to draw attention to themselves in a certain way, where if they wanted to handle it better, they probably should have gone through the league directly. But again, there's some things that are attention grabs. There's some things that are just a little fishy, if you ask me. But we got to get to preseason hockey. Oilers, Flames. The Oilers, they come back. They were down 3-0 against the Flames last night. The power play heats up. They win 4-3 at home against Calgary. Johnny Gaudreau didn't play the third period, precautionary reasons. Mikko Koskinen gets the win in net. Yes, Puljujärvi was great. I think he had an awesome game. Draisaitl looked phenomenal. I mean, he's so good. I mean, he's one of the more underrated players, and I know it's crazy to say that right now, but the fact that he isn't talked about in, you know, the Nathan MacKinnon conversation, the Auston Matthews conversation, I think Draisaitl is putting himself as the second best player in the league almost. You know, that's how good he can be. But I want your assessment. Give me a couple of takeaways you had from the preseason game last night.
Yeah, I guess the biggest one would probably be just Edmonton has this nuclear option that they definitely shouldn't use for 82 games. But you see in the third there when they put McDavid, Draisaitl, and Puljujarvi together, that line's like pretty much the reason they win the game, right? Like McDavid draws the penalty, whatever scores, they need challenge the play, they challenge the player or whatever, and then they go on the power play. So that's kind of like their nuclear option. Like that's not going to work for 60 minutes a game because you can't have Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, and Yamamoto. And I mean, Kyler Yamamoto, he's got to kind of figure it out pretty quickly here because, you know, the Oilers, the David Staples player grades hasn't really loved him lately, but yeah, there's that. Obviously people just be going nuts on the Keith and CeCe pairing, as per usual. That I think the Cody CeCe one, I think probably just goes back to him in Toronto. And sure enough, he was almost traded for Taylor Hall. And then Duncan Keith, I mean, I don't know, like people just get mad at Ken Holland for whatever these days. And sure enough, he didn't help himself by getting the vaccine late and stuff like that. But I mean, there's two ways to look at it too, right? Because if you look at Cody CeCe, if his name was Evan Bouchard and he played like that, people would be like, yeah, like, you know, it's a pretty good game for Bouchard. He's learning, but now that's Cody CeCe and they sign him to this 4-year deal. Then people just go crazy. But there's that. And obviously Brennan Perlini scores again, and you need guys like that in your bottom six who can just score. Like, you know, they don't have to be able to do anything. Just, you know, pot your 10 goals or whatever and help us out. Something that Colin Sevier definitely couldn't do, and I definitely could see him probably not making the team. And then from the Calgary perspective, obviously Monahan and Hanifin's first games. I mean, Daryl Sutter after the game, he's like, yeah, it was a preseason game. It was a no-hitter. Like, you kind of put your systems in place, and Calgary's got some kind of random guys. They got Walker Duehr and Justin Kirkland kind of battling for spots, just big, tough guys that Daryl Sutter would like. So, you know, every move that Calgary seems to be doing these days is kind of revolved around 2-1 Daryl Sutter hockey.
And you know what? I don't mind that. Being an old school hockey guy, I consider myself, I don't mind their style. But you bring up a couple of interesting things. And we did ask on Twitter at World Hockey RPT, join the conversation anytime. You can get on the chat on the screen. We said, you know, how are we feeling about this for Oilers fans? And Mimamoto, he's always jumping in here once in a while on Twitter. Funny account there. You can go follow him. He said, Keith and CeCe is the worst second pairing in the league. If the Oilers don't find a good solution at 2LD and 2RD, they will struggle in the playoffs again. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction come one preseason game for Duncan Keith. Plus, Cody CeCe, he could end up on your third pairing. Depends on how some things shuffle around. You know, you did mention Bouchard. There's a lot of unknowns. I mean, he's been called the X Factor multiple times, and I don't think that's unfair. I don't think that's crazy to call him the X Factor in this. And then Oil Fan 240, you know, I'm not going to read it verbatim what he said. I mean, you can be an adult and comment, but he just said, because this is the summer to figure it out, like, you know, I can't imagine how much of a dipshit Holland is. I lost it when he said guide and record book in regards to Keith's analytics. I don't know. I mean, I think that there are intangibles that Duncan Keith brings to the lineup that people fail to understand when you talk about how much a guy like Darnell Nurse, how much a guy like Bouchard, CeCe, all those D-men look up to a guy like Duncan Keith. I mean, that guy's won more than this entire Edmonton D-Corps may win in their whole career. Let's be honest here. That's impressive. So I think to, you know, absolutely run Duncan Keith out of town after one preseason game is asinine. Also, Oilers fan or Oiler armchair GM on Twitter said, number one forward group in the league right now. And number one line in power play. I like your D, lots of offense from back there. Yeah, Tyson Barry is still unbelievable. I mean, if he's, you know, if he's going to play like that, him and Nurse are an awesome pairing. Goaltending is likely going to need an upgrade before the trade deadline, but maybe Skinner can push. I don't see Stuart Skinner pushing at him.
No, not even a little bit. No.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty fair. Also, High Priest Oil says, is Draisaitl the second best player in the league? He says yes. So it's crazy to immediately shut that down, because when you watch Leon Draisaitl, he can do so many things. He's so good at protecting the puck. He's got such a good shot. He can make these incredible passes. I honestly think if he's anywhere else in the league, he's the best player on the team. And that means you can put him on Boston. You can put him on Toronto. You can put him on Colorado. And he's the best player on their team. No joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everybody looks, and like there's so many people out east who go, well, he plays with McDavid, he can't drive his own line, I guess. The first comment to that would be, no, he doesn't play with McDavid. And I mean, if anything, like you could say McDavid plays with him, because he makes McDavid go up a step too. And I mean, the whole driving his own line thing, like if you've looked at the Oilers wingers the last, I don't know, since he's been there, it's Dominic Cahoon, it's Yamamoto, who hasn't proven anything in this league, it's Anton Slepyshev, it's Patrick Russell, it's Ty Ratty. Like, there's so many guys who just aren't in the league anymore, and that was what I said, like, at last year, I think I said, six of these Oilers forwards won't be in the NHL next year, and sure enough, it's kind of trending that way. And you look at Draisaitl, like, definitely the best passer in the league backhand, like, forehand, and it's crazy, too, because I think if you're an Oilers fan, you got to be thrilled at just the trajectory specifically of him and Darnell Nurse. Cause like back in junior and when Draisaitl had his like little stint before he got sent back to Kelowna, you couldn't really keep up in the league. And, you know, just his internal drive and Nurse's internal drive and their want to get better and willingness to get better. It's a good internal competition to have where you have all these guys pushing each other. And, you know, if you're a guy like, let's say, I don't know, Tyler Benson or Ryan McLeod, you look at the top players and how much work they've put in, it's okay, like, why can't we do that? So it's good to have that internally, especially, you know, with a guy like Draisaitl, who third overall pick, like I definitely saw it with him. It's just for him to get to this level is insane.
And here's the thing about their power play too, and this is one thing that's been talked about multiple times, is this is where it comes down to Dave Tippett a little bit. In my mind, you got to get these guys going earlier. You can't wait until the third period and say, let's hope to get a couple of power plays and we're going to capitalize there. No, I mean, from the get-go, this power play has to be good. It can't be hot and cold or you end up getting swept by Winnipeg in the playoffs. That's just the harsh reality. Now, Adam, I'm going to throw two guys at you. Just got jumped in there. Perlini makes this team, right? That's one of the guys I'm going to ask about. Give me a couple of quick thoughts on Brendan Perlini and Oliver Shillington.
For Perlini, I mean, he was a high pick, scored a lot in junior. Like, I mean, had a really good first year in Arizona and then kind of just didn't really work out for him. He was in the Dylan Strome trade to Chicago and then ended up going to Detroit and then kind of back overseas because his dad finished up in Europe or something, so he kind of grew up in Europe and stuff. But big guy who can skate and shoot. I mean, and he shoots a lot, and he's proven thus far that he can score. But for him, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, if you're the Oilers, like, I mean, how they've been made up the last couple of years, it's, oh, these guys, you know, they can hold their own in the D zone. Anything else we get from them is just a bonus. You know, if they penalty kill, great. Like, they can hold their own. That's basically what it is. But they had nobody who is just like a one-shot scorer, right? Where Perlini can go down the ice by himself, use his speed and size and go and score. And nobody else in the past 4 or 5 years in their bottom six was doing that. Like Alex Chiasson wasn't doing that. James Neal wasn't doing that. Like he's just got, you know, it's more so just the speed, but you look at a team like Tampa or whatever, you look at Barkley Gaudreau, who's never a scorer, but he could go down the ice and score. You know, like you need that kind of from your bottom six, especially when you're up against the cap like Edmonton is. And then for Shillington, I don't really know what to make of him. You know, he's kind of been up and down. Like he passed through waivers last year, I think. And I don't know, he can skate. I just don't know. Like there's a lot of guys that can skate, right? And in Calgary, he's behind Noah Hanifin, who actually had a really good year last year. Yusuf Alimäki, still kind of finding his way, but I think there's something there. And then Zadorov, who's a big mean guy, so like I don't really know who Shillington's gonna play over there. And I mean, he's a nice player, but I don't really know like what that gets you these days.
I think Shillington is a little overhyped right now. If you're a Flames fan talking about how this guy needs to be in your top four, he makes a couple of good plays a game, and he did yesterday, but there was also a couple of very questionable things where you're like, where's the hockey sense in this guy? Like, maybe that's why he's been put on waivers, or maybe that's why he hasn't been able to, you know, grab a consistent role in the NHL. There's still a lot of things that got to go right, and with the Flames decor this year, I don't know if he fits the style that they want to play. I don't know if he fits Sutter's style. I don't know if he's a 2-1 game type defender. That's what I have issues about, and that's what I question the most. All right, we're going to talk Western Conference. Yeah, some more Oilers Flames talk is going to hop up there for sure. But first, we got to head off to a commercial break here. You're watching World Hockey Report. We're presented by Lord Kiwano Parts.
Sport Travel Tours is the official tour supplier for the Spengler Cup Ice Hockey Tournament in Switzerland. Nestled amongst the stunning Swiss Alps is the exclusive resort of Davos. This December, teams from all around the world will compete in the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, the Spengler Cup. Sport Travel Tours packages include incredible hotels, amazing tickets, and a New Year's Eve party in the mountains to remember. Check out sporttraveltours.com today.
Hockey is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any hockey game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deflection. However, they light the lamp, you're going to win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any hockey game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back.
It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Visit Lord Co.'s in-store truck centers at select locations. We're going to break down the Western Conference right now. Adam Ehrman-Trout with us here talking NHL season preview. And there's a couple of big storylines to get to. Obviously, the Oilers and the Flames are a little bit of a question mark. But when it comes to the Canucks, this is what I'm interested to hear from Adam's perspective. And Trout, you can speak on this. With Hughes, with Pettersson lined up, are they even close to competing for a playoff spot? Or am I giving them too much credit here?
No, I think they're close. I mean, it's tough to see kind of where I guess the second, like where everybody kind of fits in. I mean, Connor Garland's a really good player, but he played on a terrible team his last 2 years, you know? So really good player. Is he a good player on a bad team, a bad player on a good team? Where's he kind of fit in? Ekman Larson, he's struggled the last 2 or 3 years. Where's he fit in? And, you know, after Quinn Hughes, Ekman Larson, and like if you want to fit in Tyler Myers, sure, like you kind of wonder where the Canucks D goes. And Hughes was great with Tanev, and then last year, you know, they couldn't really find a partner for him. And you know, Pettersson's really good, but he's kind of been hurt the last 2 years, kind of off and on. He just gets these nagging injuries. So yeah, and then they got Jason Dickinson, and I think Canucks fans are a little higher on him than they probably should be. And yeah, they're just kind of banking on Nils Höglander, Jack Rathbone, Vasily Podkolzin. They have a really good goalie in Thatcher Demko, and Jaroslav Halak is a good number two. So, you know, they're close, but it's hard to see, like, I don't know, like it's hard to see how Ekman Larson and Garland kind of fit in here.
Where do you think Demko ranks around goaltenders in the Pacific? You know, I'm not putting, is he a top three even?
In the Pacific, yeah, I'd give him that, because it's, what do we want to say, him, Leonard, Grubauer's
definitely up.
Oh,
there.
Well, Gibson. No, never mind. No, he's not, because I forgot about John Gibson, because Anaheim's just at the bottom of these lists. But
well, I would say Gibson, Grubauer, Leonard. That's how I would say it. And I give Leonard the edge over Demko just because it's Leonard. He's got that experience, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not crazy about Robin Leonard, but...
No, I'm not either. I'm just saying, I think he's still better.
You know, Demko's been pretty hot and cold, too. Like, he's kind of stole the show in the bubble, and then he kind of struggled a bit at the start of last year. So, you know.
And we'll get your playoff teams at the end. Another team I want to ask about, Chicago. Fleury looks amazing in the preseason. I think they've added some very solid depth to that lineup. And I'm a big fan of the Joneses, obviously. I still think Seth Jones is an absolute stud. Do you think they did enough to make them contenders, or are they pretenders right now?
I'd say they're probably in between. I mean, they got Tyler Johnson, too, who's kind of centering a line with Kane and I think DeBrincat or Kubalik right now. So, you know, Tyler Johnson was basically on Tampa's fourth line when it was all said and done, but he can still play. Jonathan Toews is back, and that's going to be fascinating for a guy who's taken a year off of hockey. And then, you know, you got Fleury, and you're asking a lot of him to replicate his Vezina season. And, I mean, for Seth Jones, you know, he's really good, and so is Jake McCabe, so that should be a really good pairing. But once again, you look at Chicago, and it's like, okay, they got, you know, Brandon Hagel on their second line, and then their second D pairing is, I don't like, Connor Murphy. So it's tough to see. I mean, that division is just
an absolute... Hagel is nasty at the World Championships. I think his ceiling is unbelievably high for what people give him credit for. Like, I think he's a top six in the NHL, and I think he is just going to get better. Like, it was him and Mangiapane that were dominating in that World Championship when Canada got hot.
Yeah, and honestly, they're kind of like Vancouver in a way, where they get the big defenseman and kind of change up their forward group a bit, but you don't know how everything's going to fit in. And I think a lot might fall on the shoulders of Kirby Dach to see where he can slide in, because he was hurt his first year, hurt last year. Obviously, freak accidents. It's not really on the player at all, but there's all that. And then, I mean, what's ever happened to Dylan Strome? I see he's kind of like on their fourth line, right wing, like just kind of getting buried there. So I could see it in Chicago. It's just that you're going to need, they're like the worst defensive team in the league the last 2 years, and now they got a Vezina caliber goalie. So I think this is kind of, I don't know, it'll be interesting.
Fleury's a guy who can steal games, and that's why I think that they actually have a chance to compete for a playoff spot here. They could be a top three team in the Central. Don't kid yourself, because when I look at this, I like Colorado, I like Winnipeg, and I mean, St. Louis and Nashville are a little bit of a toss-up there, but I'm not a big Stars guy. Everyone knows that. I'm still not that high on them after their run. And so if the Blackhawks, I don't think the Predators are what everyone wants to make them out to be. I think that team is way past their prime. The Blues, guess we'll see what happens with Tarasenko. That's probably a pretty big wild card there. For Colorado, how big of an upgrade is Darcy Kuemper on Philip Grubauer in your mind?
I'd say it might even be a wash, honestly. Like, Grubauer was a top three Vezina candidate last year, and Darcy Kuemper was, he's been kind of hurt the last year, and he's had a little bit of injury issue, so probably a wash. I mean, Grubauer was really, really good for them, so it's hard to see, you know, and Kemper's a free agent after this year. So the way that Sakic was kind of playing chicken with the Grubauer camp was interesting. And sure enough, he still has, like, if he didn't get Kuemper, he still could have got Grubauer signed. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's a crazy upgrade. It's just, you look at last year in Colorado, it kind of seemed like their last run, because they had Makar at a, obviously, Makar's $9 million more this year, and now Landeskog's about $2 or $3 million more. So it's an extra $12 million on their cap just for having the same team. And then they lose Brandon Saad, and I mean, Val Nichushkin's on their second line right now. So I kind of wonder about their depth a little bit. I mean, they added Darren Helm and Mikhail Maltsev, but I mean, you're, once again, you're banking on a guy like Newhook or a guy like Shane Bowers or Bowen Byram to kind of take these big steps. And it's the NHL. It's a tough thing to do.
So I agree with you on their depth, and I also think come playoff time, they need more of their big guns, McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen. They haven't exactly shined in the biggest moments, and I can say that because we've watched Flames and Oilers playoffs where the big guns have done the exact same. You know, when it comes to the clutch, they're not there at all. But the Grubauer and Kuemper thing's asinine. Kuemper is a way better, when healthy, Colorado saw firsthand of what damage a hot goaltender and a great goaltender can do when they played the Coyotes in the bubble, right? Darcy Kuemper was absolutely phenomenal. So they would have saw him go head-to-head with Grubauer before Grubauer got hurt there, I believe. Or maybe Grubauer got hurt in the second round. Maybe he played the full first round. But again, Darcy Kuemper is a huge step up because look at the team he had to play behind in Arizona. They were terrible. They were trash. Now you put him on a decent team like Colorado where he's going to face half the shots and he's going to face half the quality opportunities. I think he moves the needle for Colorado. If they're to go to the Cup final this year, it's because of Darcy Kuemper. Simple as that. That's the difference maker. It's not Bowen Byram. It's not Cale Makar. It's not Alex Newhook. It's not Nichushkin, whatever. It's because Darcy Kuemper is going to be able to win them some big games against a good Pacific team, likely.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And, of course, I mean, he wins gold at the World Championships and played really well near the end of the tournament there. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the last – whatever, let's say almost every team that's ever won the Stanley Cup, you know, you need a goalie to get hot and a goalie to win you games. And he's proven he can do that. So, you know, obviously the main culprit is him being healthy. So let's hope for his sake and Colorado's sake that it stays that way.
That question came from Lil Micheletti on Twitter. Join the conversation anytime you're watching at World Hockey RPT. We're also coming to you on 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Slingo TV channel 761. Get those questions in right now. Alex says, can Toronto and Edmonton win a playoff series and finally get to the second round for the first time in a while? Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, give your thoughts. Just a simple yes or no, Adam.
Yeah, Edmonton for sure. Toronto's in a tough division. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, Toronto's goaltending, not that good. Edmonton, I do like their chances. Brad's got a question, but it's about the East, so we will save that for a little bit down the road here. Vegas, I'm interested in your opinion because I said last week that this team has taken a major step back, losing Fleury. They didn't really bolster their, you know, up front in the middle. I thought that was a big issue. I still think Pietrangelo is a stud on the back end. I still think that they are pretty damn good defensively. But I think they've taken a major step back, and they'll be happy with second in the Pacific if they get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in the Pacific, it's kind of Edmonton, Vegas, and then pick your poison between the LA, Calgary, Vancouver, that kind of thing. But yeah, we talked about it. I mean, Robin Leonard last year played 19 games, right? Like it's, he didn't play the 50, like he hasn't played more than 40 games in a season since 2019. So yeah, I mean, he has to show that he can carry the load. And for Vegas, our complaint since they've been alive has been they lack center depth. And sure enough, their big move was to go get Nolan Patrick, who, I mean, obviously Kelly McCrimmon's taken a flyer on his old Brandon Boy. And then they got Yevgeny Dedanov, which I thought was the weirdest move of the offseason. But yeah, I mean, they didn't get better. They probably got worse. Obviously, you just lose a Vezina goalie and you add in Laurent Bressois, who, I mean, was fine in Winnipeg, but he's only playing 15 games. You're not making the playoffs because of him. So I don't know, they haven't addressed their biggest issue, and like they're definitely not better.
Is Jack Eichel still in the cards for them, or are we calling this season off for Jack Eichel because if he gets the surgery he wants and a trade, he's likely not available till playoffs?
Yeah, I don't, like, who does Vegas even have left that Buffalo would want, right? Like they have
draft picks.
Like, yeah, and I mean, like, what is Buffalo going to take the 26th overall pick for Jack Eichel or whatever? So, I don't know. Like, they really don't have any young guys who you're like, yeah, like, they can definitely take a step, like, or take a step. So, I don't know. Like, I don't think that move is really, really there anymore.
How about Seattle? We haven't really talked about the Kraken that much. Are they contenders? Are they, you know, a good, bad team? Are they, you know, a bad good team? I'm not exactly sure where I see them. I like their goaltending duo, but realistically up front, nothing screams playoff about this team to me.
No, they're fine. And I mean, just like Vegas, who's their top line center? Jared McCann. So I mean, they're fine. And Eberle and Jaden Schwartz and, you know, McCann, they're Gord. And Donskoy, yeah, Gord, they're good players, but they're not moving the needle or anything. And they got Grubauer's good. They got a kind of defense by committee, let's call it. Giordano's getting a little long in the tooth, but Alexiak, Larson, Vince Dunn, solid goaltending with Driedger and Grubauer, but it's like, okay, you're good, but you know, where does it kind of go after that? So
does their forward group not kind of feel like the Islanders without like Barnzell and Palmieri? Like that's what it reminds me of almost. Like they're just a very meh team. Like they're fine. They'll score, they'll win games, but they're not going to do any damage.
Yeah, they're not the worst team in the league. They're fine. Like that's kind of the way to put it. Like they're not better than, like they're probably better than Anaheim. It kind of depends what Anaheim gets out of John Gibson. And then for LA, I think LA is kind of my team that I've got circled because I have no idea what to expect from them. Like they got Victor Arvidsson and Phil Deneau and Alex Edler, but the same time, you're kind of banking on Dustin Brown, Cal Peterson, Jonathan Quick to kind of take these steps. And like Alex Turcotte wasn't even really that close to making their team, given he's already down in the minors. So I don't know. Like, as I said, after the top two teams in the Pacific, it's a bit of a crapshoot.
It's 12:39. Cody Jansen, Adam Ermintrout with you on World Hockey Report. Follow us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. I'm there at Janner31 underscore. Adam's there at A Ermintrout. I'll let you have fun spelling that. We got a minute, Adam. Give me your three teams from the Central, three teams from the Pacific that are locks to make the playoffs.
Pacific, I'll go Vegas, Edmonton, Vancouver. Central, I'll go Colorado, Winnipeg. Dallas can take a step forward.
Wow, with their four goalie system, eh? You hate the two goalie system, so let's go with the team with a four goalie system. That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. Like, I mean, I don't think Ben Bishop's gonna play hockey again. Like that just seems abundantly clear with how they've handled things. But yeah, I think Dallas, they got screwed last year and they almost made the playoffs. So I think they'll be better.
That's fair. Okay, I'll give you my three right now. Pacific, Oilers number one, Vegas number two, Calgary number three. And in the Central, again, Colorado number one. I think that's kind of a no-brainer. I'll go Jets number two, and I'll go Chicago number three. I think Fleury moves the needle on that team, as does Seth Jones. I mean, he's an absolute stud, and he's a huge. And even Caleb Jones, if he develops properly, could be an improvement on Duncan Keith. Per the analytics people, I'll trust them on this one, even though I can't stand them. But we got to get off to a commercial break here. It's World Hockey Report, Cody Jansen, Adam Ermintrout with you. You know we're going to talk about our friends from the East next. We're presented by Lord Coe Auto Parts, and we're back after a quick timeout.
Sport Travel Tours is the official tour supplier for the Spangler Cup Ice Hockey Tournament in Switzerland. Nestled amongst the stunning Swiss Alps is the exclusive resort of Davos. This December, teams from all around the world will compete in the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, the Spangler Cup. Sport Travel Tours packages include incredible hotels, amazing tickets, and a New Year's Eve party in the mountains to remember. Check out sporttraveltours.com today.
What we do here is go back.
Let's go. Last segment of the day. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Coe Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. Lord Coe's the absolute best. If you've ever been in a store, you will never go back in that red triangle dump ever again. I'm telling you. It will change the game. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports. We are from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. As always, Adam Ermintrout joins me. We broke down the West. Now let's break down the East. I'm also getting a couple of comments. Love the hat, Cody. Yes, it's a Cubs hat. Yes, they're not in the playoffs. I don't care. I don't give a damn. The Cubs are still the absolute best. I'm sorry, Blue Jays fans. Go Kyle Schwarber. He ended your playoff run. I don't care. Call it gutless. Call it ruthless. It is what it is. Cubs forever. Let's talk Atlantic now. And I guess Eastern in general. The Met. The Metropolitan. It's such a weird division, the Metropolitan, this year, where like you actually could take six teams from the Atlantic and they'd be the best six. But we'll give them their time here. Talking about it with Adam Ermintrout from good old Saskatchewan. Hey, how is the Atlantic and how tough is it going to be in your opinion this year? Because as I said, I think there could be six, but Am I exaggerating? I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Four for sure. The six are like Montreal and Ottawa, and I mean for
Montreal just went to a cup final. If you missed it,
they did. They did, but they also lost their captain. They lost Carey Price isn't fully healthy, but I actually do think like I don't think they got better, but at the same time, like, you know, they replaced Jesperi Kotkaniemi with and Philip Deneau, who literally gave them nothing for a large part of the season with Christian Dvorak and Mike Hoffman. So, and Dvorak's a really good player too. I mean, like Max Domi, you get out of Arizona and kind of get this bump from going to a crazed hockey market. So yeah, I mean, Montreal is definitely there and they're not an easy out or anything. And then for Ottawa too, I don't know what the hell's going on with Brady Tkachuk. Like, it seems like this happens every year with somebody, and
he wants to go to Calgary. Wants to go to Calgary for sure.
Whether they don't want to give him bonuses or this or that, I really don't know. And Matt Murray has to be a lot better. But for the top teams, like Florida's definitely there. Tampa's definitely there. Although they lost their entire third line, so I don't think that can be understated. Toronto's there, but we know how goalie tandems work. And, I mean, Peter Mrazek wasn't healthy the last year, and Jack Campbell's had injury issues his whole career, so something there. And then for Boston, like, I mean, they're still Boston, but David Krejci went home. Tuukka Rask had hip surgery. I'm sure he'll be back in January. But and then Taylor Hall's back and Nick Foligno's there, so is Eric Hall and Linus Allmark, who is really good for the Sabres. But you know, it's
love Allmark in net. I think that's a great addition. I mean, he had a good save percentage, good numbers, and he played on the worst team in the NHL. So there's no way you can't tell me he's going to take another step forward in his career. I think that's an awesome one.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I mean, everybody liked Florida last year, and obviously it kind of comes down to, well, Spencer Knight or Bobrovsky kind of turn it on, but they still got better. I mean, Joe Thornton, I'm not going to sing his praises that he's going to Florida, but Sam Reinhart makes him better. And I mean, Sam Bennett, they got a lot out of him and a healthier Ekblad too.
So I'm not going to spoil my top three, but I fully disagree with you. And I don't even have Florida in my top three.
Wow.
I don't think so. I love the Sam Reinhart addition. Not a fan of the Thornton one. Don't understand why that happened. Their defense still has some question marks for me. And their goaltending, I'm telling you, I'm not sold on Bobrovsky still. I love Spencer Knight. I think losing Dreger is going to hurt. Obviously, Montembeau wasn't the goalie that they thought he was going to be. So either Spencer Knight's going to have to take a huge step forward, or this team is going to be a wild card team in the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, that's interesting because they were really good last year, and I mean they were kind of inconsistent, I guess. Like Bobrovsky, that's, I don't really know. You're hoping for something there, like, yeah. But they got better, they got deeper, they get a guy who might have won the Norris last year and Ekblad back, so they're better. I mean, that Montour is a bit of a wild card and stuff, and they don't have Keith Yandel, who was taking up a large portion of their cap. So, you know, I think Florida's really good, obviously, like any team, like Edmonton, it's the goaltending. And then you look at Tampa, they bring in Corey Perry and Bogosian, who are kind of just, you know, we'll get to the playoffs and you guys can kind of start showing up there. But yeah, they lose Yanni Gord, they lose Blake Coleman, they lose Barclay Goodrow. Like all those guys signed, like, are what make a combined $15 million now or something like that. So there's that. But knowing Tampa, I'm sure they'll find like a Ross Colton or Alex Baire-Boulay to play on their third line and just kind of fill in where they are. But and then you get to Toronto and they have question marks, let's call it that.
I saw Tampa put that Daniel Walcott on waivers, I believe. I was shocked there. I thought he would be a good depth guy because I remember he's gotten a couple of games there in playoffs too, I do believe, and he's an effective player. So that's an interesting one. They must be pretty confident in their lineup if they're throwing him on waivers this early. Now, I will get to Pittsburgh, but I got to ask about the Caps for our social media guy, Eric. What's your thoughts on the Caps? Are they expired? Are they past their time? Is Ovi going to score 50? Give me your rundown.
Goaltending's a huge thing. I mean, Samsonov had some weird things last year where he got COVID, then he was hurt, then he got suspended, and this, that, the other thing. Like, they still got their key guys there, but I don't know. They couldn't really add anyone. They lost Chara and Brendan Dillon, so they're kind of hoping for steps from, I don't know, like Justin Schultz could play a bigger role, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, John Carlson. Like they're still really good. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of tough. Like Ovechkin, sure, he'll score 50. Backstrom's hurt right now, but they still are the Capitals. I think it's the best way to put it. They don't really have any cap space or anything, but you know, you get a guy like Garrett Pielan making the team, and then, you know, he could be a little better.
Yeah, got to put him on the roster for number one. I agree. They take a huge step back on the defense, and that's my thoughts as well. Not to say Chara is this huge force on the back end, but I do think he's very solid defensively.
Yeah, he's important to them.
Yeah, no, 100% he was important. And then you lose Brendan Dillon, who is exactly the type of defenseman you need in the playoffs. So to lose those guys, that sucks. Samsonov, he just seems like a basket full of problems that they keep giving chance after chance because Vanecek isn't ready yet. And I'm not even sure Vanecek's going to turn into a starting goaltender. I don't know. They're done. They're not making the playoffs. I'm sorry. I love Ovechkin. I would love to see him play more. The Caps just aren't that team anymore. What's your thoughts on Pittsburgh? Because Malkin's out. I believe Crosby's out to start the season. Jari is... this is a make or break year for him. I mean, this is something where if he doesn't have a good year, he should be an NHL backup goaltender.
Yeah, no, that's fair to say. Like they really didn't add anyone. Like they, as Brian Burke said, they were shopping at Kmart because they had no cap space. They lost McCann. Jake Gensel is COVID now, so they got holes all over. Like they don't have any young guys who are going to step in. But yeah, I mean, Crosby and Malkin are kind of the team, right? Or, yeah, they pretty much are the team. And, you know, they still have good players like Brian Rust and stuff like that. But an under-the-radar guy that they lost to is Brandon Tanev. And he meant a lot to that team. He was one of their best players in the playoffs. So it's starting to go a little sideways for Pittsburgh. I mean, Crosby's gonna pull that team in if anybody knows anything about Crosby. But, once again, a really tough division. Like, you know, both the Atlantic and Pacific are really good. Like you got the Devils at 7, and you know, they brought in Dougie Hamilton and Jonathan Bernier and Thomas Tatar. Like it's tough. Like there's not really any free outs other than Buffalo and even Detroit. Like they're terrible, but it's not like they're a free out.
That's fair. Speaking of Philly now, are they back? Are they good? Are they going to bounce back? Are you fine? Are you confident in Carter Hart? Give me your thoughts.
Oh man, like they're better, but it's just hard to know where. Like they got Rasmus Ristolainen and Ryan Ellis and Keith Yandel, and they got Cam Atkinson and Derek Brassard. Like they made all these moves, but like where's that going to go? And their big solution to Carter Hart struggles was to sign Martin Jones, who was just bought out. Like, I mean, there's these theories in Philly that their goalie coach used to work with Martin Jones in LA and turned him into this kind of stud. So I don't know. They got a real veteran team. They paid a lot for Rasmus Ristolainen. Ryan Ellis is a really good player. Keith Yandel kind of struggled in Florida last year, but.
But you mentioned, you're like, where do they get better? And you just named three defensemen that are all upgrades over their bottom three guys last year. That's a step in the right direction. There's no way Carter Hart's worse than last year. Last year's as bad as it gets for a young goaltender. You bring in Martin Jones, who I do believe is better than Brian Elliott. And you mentioned the goaltending connection. Yeah, sure, whatever. That doesn't matter. I think Carter Hart's going to bounce back. I still think that the way everyone talks about him, he is an elite young goaltender. Everyone knows that. So you build up your defense to make him better around you. I'm not saying Atkinson's going to move the needle or anything. I'm not saying that their forwards are going to be absolutely insane. But again, you got Kevin Hayes up front. I still think that he's got another level to get to, and I think he can. So I do. I love this Flyers team. If they're all clicking, they could be the second best team in the Metro.
Yeah. You talk about the three defensemen, like Yandel and Ristolainen, and it's not those guys are these defensive stalwarts they're bringing in. Those guys are kind of point defensemen. I mean, Ristolainen's a good big defenseman, but like it's either, like, I think my thoughts on Philly, it's either going to work out really well or it's not going to work out at all.
Okay, give me a quick thought. Quick thought, 30 seconds on each team, the Rangers and the Islanders.
Rangers should be fun. Obviously, they just added anybody with an ounce of toughness, like Barkley, Goodrill, Ryan Reeves, Sammy Blais. Still kind of not sold on the defenseman. I mean, Adam Fox obviously won the Norris, but Jacob Trouba's struggled. Keandre Miller needs to take a step, but they're still good. I mean, Mika Zibanejad's going to want a new contract here, so you're relying on Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere to kind of show up, but they definitely needed a change of pace there with how much the Islanders pushed them around. So we'll see for the Islanders. I don't know, just back to the well, I guess. Like, they got Zach Parise, who's good. Chara, you know, whatever, a sixth defenseman, sure. Yeah, nothing really changed. They're well coached. They don't allow a lot. Does it burn out in the playoffs? Yes. So they're good, but I mean, I'm not picking them to win a cup anytime soon.
Okay, so Robin Leonard's speaking with the media right now. We're going to get back to our preview. I'll make it quick. But this is his quote. The last 72 hours have been extremely difficult, but also extremely important for my life goals. That's his quote. So if his life goals is to call out the league and hope that Twitter makes the league a better place, sure, I guess he can accept it. If it's just to stir up drama and call out, you know, coaches, players you don't like, interesting. The real story is going to come out. The whole story is going to come out. And I think that's when we can make our judgment call. Alrighty. I got to ask you about the Leafs. What is up with this team? Are they better? Are they worse? Is the goaltending tandem going to bite them in the foot again? That's what I see the biggest issue.
Yeah, they're not better. They lost Zach Hyman, who was like a 25-30 goal guy for them. They lost Freddie Anderson, who, say what you want about him, he's a good goalie for them. And then, you know, they're taking risks. You know, you sign guys to these, like, kind of league minimum deals, like Michael Bunting, Nick Ritchie, Andre Kasha, Nikita Gusev, and Hosanger there on PTOs. So, I don't know. A lot of things have to fall into place for them to play well. Like Peter Mrazek, I'm not really sold on. Neither am I sold on Jack Campbell. So, and then they signed David Kampf, and they expect all these things from him. So, I don't know. Like Nick Robertson, their entire left side's a complete mess. It's Michael Bunting, I think, with Tavares and Nylander. Maybe Nick Ritchie with Matthews and Marner. And sure enough, like Nick Ritchie, he goes to Boston. Everybody's like, oh, the Bruins got Nick Ritchie, and he didn't work out there. And Andre Kasha, I'm not sure he's played more than 15 games the last 3 years. So it's interesting. I mean, the Hosang and Gusev PTOs, I'm sure they'll get signed just because of pedigree and what the Leafs expect from Hosang. But I don't know. It's got to work out for them this year, or else it's kind of curtains there, I'd say.
Yep, I would fully agree with that. And the Morgan Rielly expiring contract is a huge...
That sounds like he's just out of there.
Huge, like, it's factor. Like, he wants out for sure, man.
Imagine. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you see Darnell Nurse getting 9, you see Werenski getting 9, and that's his RFA, so...
Him and Tessa Virtue are going to be chilling in Florida.
Yeah, yeah, hasn't been great the last couple of years, but if a team wants Morgan Rielly at $8.5 million, I think they'll be thrilled, so... And even his comments, he's like, yeah, we'll see. It's a business. You know, I'm not really going to talk about it. That's keywords for, like, you know, these other guys here got their money. So I'm going to get mine too.
Okay. Give me your three playoff teams for the Atlantic and the Metropolitan.
Atlantic, Tampa, Florida. I'll go Boston. I see Toronto makes it as a wild card. And then for the Metro, I will say, oh man. Carolina, we didn't really talk about them, but I think Carolina. I don't love them, but you know they're still good. Carolina, Washington, Rangers, Islanders make it as a wild card.
What the hell? That's your Metropolitan?
Yeah.
Carolina, the Rangers, and who else?
Washington.
Oh my goodness. Jeez, have another. It's one. Okay, Metropolitan, the Isles are going to finish number one. Philly's number two. Carolina's number three. That's how it's going to be. That's just how it's going to be. No way the Isles finished lower. They got better. Barzell's going to be better.
Did they?
Yeah, they definitely did. And then Philly, we already talked about them. Philly's fine. You know Trotz is going to have his team ready. They're a cup contender this year, and I think that they are going to show everyone that. Also, I gotta give a shout out here before we run out of time. Nashville Predators assistant coach Todd Richards, he suffered a heart attack on Friday. He's been released from hospital and he's resting comfortably at home in Nashville. That's good to hear. That's your good news of the day. Yeah. Shout out to Richards, his family. Stay safe, get some rest, and we hope to see you back on the bench soon. For World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, I'm Cody Jansen, Adam Ermentrout for my co-host today. Eric Cross is our social media manager. Bryce Bunce is the show's producer. Until next week, everyone, be kind, be better.